Morning, my name is Jeff, and we are right in the middle of our What About series, looking at some of the big questions around our faith or connected into our faith, partly for our own understanding, because we have these questions too, but also to shape our conversations as we talk with people around us who don't know God. So as we bring light in what we do and in what we say, how can we bring the light of Jesus through our conversations, especially around difficult topics or difficult areas? Throughout the series, it's hard to kind of give nice, neat answers. And so these topics always raise questions. So throughout today or later on today or even the next couple of days, if you have any questions about what we're talking about this morning, any reactions, any case studies, any questions about what we're about to talk about, you can SMS it to the number that will be on the screen throughout the message time. And then during the week, I'll record a midweek podcast responding to those questions, which will go up on our website and through podcast feeds like the sermon does normally anyway. So go ahead and do that at any time. Just grab that number and you can ask those questions anytime as we go through this series. Next week, we're going to talk about suffering. What about suffering? Why do bad things happen? Where is God when we suffer? And how should we respond to suffering? But this morning, as we've already heard, we're going to talk about science. What about science? What about God versus science? Or what about faith versus science? Are these things mutually exclusive? Or what happens when we hear something from science that contradicts what we have heard maybe at Lakes Kids, or for kids that you've heard at home, or that you've read in the Bible, that you understand about God or about the world or the universe? What happens when there are contradictions between these two? When it comes to our faith in God, do we have to check our brains at the door, leave our brain behind so that we can accept God and follow Him? Or when we go to a science class at school, or you go to university, or you have conversations with friends, or you watch a documentary, do you have to check your heart, check your faith at the door so that you can engage your mind with science? What about science? And the kids are in, which is great, because right from very early in school, obviously science is a subject and our kids are learning science right through primary school and high school and at university, lots and lots of science degrees and science subjects. And you just end up talking about this stuff with your friends and family. So what about science? The first thing that we need to keep in mind as we talk about this is that if what we believe about God is true, that God is eternal and outside time, that God is loving and forgiving and just, that He is our creator and our sustainer, that He is a very, very big God and also a very intimate personal God, a God who fully showed Himself through Jesus. If all of that is true about God, then there actually is no God versus science problem, because God created science. If what we believe about God is true, He came up with the idea of gravity and knew long before scientists did exactly what the mathematical measurements and equations for gravity are. He knows what dark matter is. He set the planets in motion and He knew what the Higgs boson was before Peter Higgs did. If what we believe about God is true, then there is no conflict with science. And God is not a God of the gaps, that science and the world can teach us this much, but there's this gap that we don't understand, and so we've got to have faith in God for that stuff that we don't understand. God is a God of everything. He's not just the God of the spiritual world, He is the God of everything and every part of our lives as well, and the entire universe. So if what we believe about God is true, then there is no God versus science problem. But you might have heard a friend say that they don't need God or they don't believe in God because they know where we came from. They know the origins of human beings. And usually, jumping straight to talking about evolution, people will use science to form or to support their view that there is no God. But don't let the apparent clash between science and God become a problem for you, because it isn't as bad as it seems. There is a story being told in our schools, and in the media and in the world around us that there is a clash and an irreconcilable conflict between God and science, but it's not entirely true. I'm going to quote from a number of scientists this morning, and they are all from Oxford University, simply because they're the ones I had access to from a great video where they were interviewed. And a younger guy, Ard Louis, is a theoretical physicist from Oxford, and he says, "I don't think there is a clash." He's a theoretical physicist. He says, "I don't think there is a clash. There is a superficial conflict narrative, a story that's out there in the public. But if you're actually talking to scientists, that's much less the case. And certainly in physics," he says, "there are a lot of physicists who are Christians. In my own department at Oxford, I know of at least 10 or 15 of my fellow academics who are very active members of their churches. And we say sometimes to each other, does our science conflict with our faith? And we think it's the other way around. It actually strengthens our faith." From this guy, from Ard Louis' perspective, there is no God versus science conflict. There is no clash. And he and his Christian colleagues, all very, very respected and high up in the scientific world, find that science encourages and supports their faith rather than the story being told to us that there is a conflict and a problem. And one of the reasons, or another reason why the story is not as bad as it sounds, is that usually when you talk to people and you ask them to explain why science says that there is no God, they very quickly move away from talking about science. So they might start with some scientific facts, or let's call it pure science, which is operational and experimental. I can do this experiment and it will work every time because it's science. They'll start there, but they very, very quickly move to historical science. So we find this in the universe today, and so that must mean this about human origins or about evolution or about the age of the universe. Or they move to the philosophy of science. And so we find this scientifically today, so that must mean this, that there is no God. And they start talking about pain and suffering and things like that. Or they'll even jump to the Bible. So God cannot be real, God cannot be true, because of the violence that we find in the Old Testament. Surely that's the problem. And we don't have time to talk about that today, but we did in this What About series last year. And the resources at the info desk. But people quickly move from talking about pure science, something that is operational and something you can experiment on, to talking about some other area, maybe connected to science, maybe something else, but there is not pure science to deny the existence of God. There isn't. You know, if you think about love, and Pat made the comment earlier with communion, that science can't measure love or explain love. Love is something that is in the human experience that science may be able to measure something of and point some parts of it out. But you don't need science to tell you whether someone loves you or not. Science isn't able to explain that kind of thing. And God is not a scientific thing to be measured or controlled. He's a person. He's a being. And so science and God are not incompatible. And there is no conflict between them. On the other hand, you can find things within science that point to the reality of God. And so this same scientist I quoted before, Ard Louis, says, "If I start from the assumption that there is no God, and then I look at the world, it's rather surprising that the world would have that kind of mathematical character." What he's talking about is like I said about gravity before. You can measure gravity. You can do experiments with gravity, and they are precise. The universe is made incredibly complex and is so perfect for human life. It has a mathematical character and a beginning of the universe as well. So he says, it's surprising. If you think there is no God and you come to science, you're going to be surprised at the mathematical character of the world. But if I start from the assumption that there's a creator behind the world, it's not so surprising. And so science has been an incredible gift to humanity and to the world because it's enabled us to see and measure and control things that previously we weren't able to. And as science progresses, it is humanity's best attempt to describe and understand the universe that God has made. And science is amazing. as our understanding of the solar system gets bigger and bigger, and our understanding of the subatomic level of the universe gets smaller and smaller, we are just more and more in awe of the world that we live in. This video we're about to watch was put together by an astrophysicist from the University of Western Australia, and it shows the hugeness and the minuteness. Why don't you have a look at the screen? Amazing, hey. So eventually, as you talk with your friends about science, or you start thinking about science, eventually you're going to come to the philosophical side of it, about the meaning and the purpose of life. So your friend who says, I don't need God, or I don't believe in God because I know where we came from, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes. They say, I don't need God because I know where we came from. What meaning and purpose does science give to their life? What does a universe, a world without God, say to us as human beings about the meaning and the purpose of our life, of how significant or insignificant we are, and our role in the universe? And what does God say about our meaning and purpose? To talk about that, let's have a look at the Bible. And the first thing that we need to understand when we look at the Bible, especially at all times, but especially when we're talking about science, is that the Bible is not a scientific textbook. It's not a textbook. That's not why it was written. The Bible is a record of God's revelation to humanity and his interaction with humanity as he revealed himself to us, and it was inspired by him to write it down and collect that so that we can see who God is and how he's interacted with the world and what he wants us to know about him. So the Bible is not a textbook. It contains history and poetry and songs and biography and letters and stories and parables. And it contains things that point to scientific truths, but it's not a textbook. It does, though, help us know God and understand him and hear from him. And even though God is eternal and outside time, the Bible was written within human history and at certain times in human history. And so it's complicated to go to the Bible to look at what it says about science, because that's not why it was written. Even though God perfectly understands science and what would be discovered today and tomorrow in the scientific community, the Bible wasn't written for that purpose. It was written within a time in human history that had science of its own time and of its own history. But the Bible does give meaning and purpose to our lives. Where science can only discover what can be seen or measured or controlled, God, through the Bible, can give us meaning and purpose. And, I mean, we could talk about all sorts of things, but let me quote to you from one of the Psalms, one of the poems, Psalm 139, as the psalmist writes, "How precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me." The Bible gives us meaning and purpose because it describes how God sees the world and how God sees us. It describes how God wants to interact with us and how God sent his own son, Jesus, so that we could be in close relationship with him, so that we could be saved from the mess and the sin and the bad stuff of the world, and so we could be right with God. The Bible shows us God's meaning and purpose for our life. But of course, when we're talking about the Bible and we're talking about science, eventually we're going to get to the origins of the universe and the origins of human beings, creation or evolution. But as we wade into that just for a couple of minutes this morning, we need to bear in mind what is important for us as Christians and what is the basis of our faith. And the basis of our faith is not on a particular view or a particular timeline of the universe. The basis of our faith is in Jesus, who Jesus is and what he's done. So if we're talking about how Jesus saves us and reconciles us with God, that isn't based on any particular scientific view of how old the earth is or the origins of the universe. That's based on who Jesus is and what he's done and us accepting that and accepting him into our life. That's our essential, as we call it. You know, you might have heard me say this before, that helpful Churches of Christ saying that in essentials, we should have unity. In non-essentials, we should have freedom. And in all things, we should have love. And what is essential for our agreement and our unity and essential for our salvation in God is this about creation, that God is our creator and our sustainer. This is where Christianity diverges from any other belief and from atheism, that regardless of the science, our belief as Christians is that without God, there would be no universe. There would be no people. There would be no world. That God created everything and he created us. And also that he sustains us. That without God, everything would implode or disappear. That God holds the universe together. And the Apostle Paul describes this in Colossians chapter 1, speaking about Jesus then as being God. He says, "Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, through Jesus, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. This is what makes us different. This is our different story, if you like. You can point to the scientific world in the same way that others do and say that tells the story of there being no God. But in the same way, you can point to the scientific world and say that tells us a story that there must be a God. Let me quote another guy from Oxford, John Lennox, who you may be more familiar with because he writes and speaks more. He says, "We only have to see a few letters of the alphabet spelling our name in the sand to recognize at once the work of an intelligent agent." So you go for a walk on the beach and you find a few letters written out in the sand that spell out your name, and you know for sure that someone has been there before you. You know for certain that that didn't just happen as the waves crashed on the shore. There has been an intelligent agent, a person who's written your name in the sand. He says, "How much more likely then is the existence of an intelligent creator behind human DNA? The colossal biological database that contains no fewer than 3.5 billion letters, the longest word yet discovered." So we know, when we see something written down, that there must be someone behind that. And he says science shows us the same thing, that something as complicated as DNA must have someone behind it. We can point to science and it leads us to a different story, which the Bible confirms for us. But rather than just confirming science, it gives us meaning and purpose that we are on God's heart, that he sees us and he knows us and he wants to be in relationship with us through Jesus. And that's what our faith is about. That's the essential of our Christian faith, that Jesus is the Son of God and he is the who of creation. He's our creator and sustainer. So if that's our essential, it means that the secondary questions of how and when he did that are non-essential to our faith. And that doesn't mean they're not important. It doesn't mean we shouldn't look into them and even perhaps have strong points of view on them. But by non-essential, it means that we don't all have to agree on the how and the when of creation. But what defines us as Christians is the who. That God created everything. And there are probably a few main categories of views that Christians hold, and we all share the conviction of the who of creation, but a few main views on the how and the when of creation, on the age of the earth and how God might have created everything. And if you've been a Christian for a while and you follow Jesus, you've probably thought about this before, and you may even have a particularly strong view on how God did that, on the how and the when. But our faith is in the who, not in the how and the when. None of us were there when it happened. And so we rely on our best understanding of what God says through the Bible and our best understanding of science. Not the story of science, but the science that is measurable and observable and operational. And each of the different views that may be different from your own, each of them come from a very, very strong understanding of the Bible. That people who are faithful and godly and very intelligent in the ancient languages understand that point of view of creation from the Bible. And also understand it from very, very capable and highly qualified scientists. And bring those two together of the Bible and science to understand the origins or the age of the universe as how God created them. Each of the views. And you may understand some of those things of your own view, of some of the biblical understanding and some of the science. But what gets really hard for us as Christians sometimes is being able to accept one another if we differ on that non-essential of the how and the when. So I personally don't have a particularly strong view of the how and the when. I have a very strong view of the who, as I've explained to you already. But if I was, say for example, a strong young earth creationist, that God created the world in a short period of time and the world is relatively young than what the story of science tells us, and I meet you, a committed Christian who's also convicted about the who of creation, but has a different point of view, based on the Bible and on science, that God created the world over a much longer period of time. Can I love you and accept you as a brother or sister in Christ? Or do I have to reject you based on the differences of the how and the when? That gets really hard for us sometimes because this can be a very, very passionate subject. But God is bigger than you and I. He's bigger than the entire science community, Christians or not. And our faith is in him through Jesus, not in him through a particular understanding of how and when. So the challenge for us within the church is being able to show love and grace to each other and have conversations, sometimes have really great, robust debates on this stuff, but not to exclude each other or judge each other based on those non-essentials of how and when. But rather, our acceptance is based on the essential of who. But it also changes our conversations with others. As we bring the light of Jesus into our conversations about science and faith, it means that the conversation can shift away just from arguing over the interpretation of science and even the interpretation of the Bible to more on that essential fact of God as our creator and sustainer. That's our big thing. That's our focus. And that should be our focus in our conversations. The science is very interesting and the science can be a stepping stone, but our goal is really to help someone accept the reality of God. If we help someone shift their understanding of science without shifting their acceptance of God, they gain absolutely nothing as far as we're concerned. But if we can help them shift their understanding of God as creator and sustainer, that's where the real difference and life change will happen in their life and for their eternity as well, as they discover Jesus. So what about science? The last guy I want to quote is an older guy, also a theoretical physicist, John Polkinghorne from Oxford University, an old Englishman. And he talks about making a pot of tea. So he says, if I put the kettle on in my kitchen and the water is beginning to boil, how is that water boiling? He says, well, science tells me the answer to that. It's because of physics that my kettle is boiling. But why is my kettle boiling? My kettle's boiling because I want to enjoy a cup of tea. And so he says, science can answer the how question. But in his words, only religion can answer the why question. And he says, to understand the mysterious event of the boiling kettle, I need both answers. I need both the insights of science and the insights of religion. Science cannot tell you about the meaning and purpose of human life or the meaning and purpose of your life, but God can. And to understand the universe, we need both. And there doesn't need to be a conflict between the two. Science is an unfinished work. We're still making discoveries and still learning more about how things work. And scientific discovery is amazing and can give glory to God. You know, the miracle, as we say, of birth is incredible, an incredible biological thing. But how much more now that we understand how it happens through ultrasound, being able to see the baby being formed in the womb, how much more amazing is that event with the scientific understanding that goes with it? So we cling to our essential of God as our creator and sustainer, and we give each other freedom and love in the non-essential of the how and the when. And we're careful that our views about science don't become so rigid and so fixed that we can't accept God anymore. Because that's a false conflict that doesn't need to exist. Science can tell you a lot of things, but it can't tell you about the meaning and purpose of life. And it doesn't dictate your faith. So lean into your relationship with God and lean into your faith. And join in conversations with friends and family about science and find ways to share your faith in God based in science for sure, but don't just leave it there. Bring in the difference and the life change that God has made because of how all these things stack up. Don't be afraid of science as if it could damage your relationship with God. That's a false conflict that doesn't need to exist. Don't believe at face value the story that you hear at school or at university, that you cannot be a Christian and also take science seriously because that's just not true. Have your faith and lean into science, and you'll be amazed at what you can learn, and you'll be amazed about who God is. God created science and he loves it. You don't have to leave your brains behind when you come to God or you come into the church, and you don't have to leave your faith behind when you engage with science. They are not incompatible. Faith in Jesus is for everyone, including very, very smart scientific people. You can be a scientific thinker and a Christian. Many, many people have been all throughout history and continue today. John Lennox, the mathematician and the speaker and author that I quoted before, he says, faith is not a leap in the dark. Faith is not a leap in the dark. It's the exact opposite. It's a commitment based on evidence. Faith is not a leap in the dark. It's the exact opposite. It's a commitment based on evidence. And that's what we bring to our faith, a commitment to God in faith, but based on evidence. Let me pray. Father God, we are just amazed as we just set aside some of the conflicts and some of the debates for a minute, and we think about that video that we watched. Wow. That is just amazing what you have made and how you hold it all together. How you have set up the universe so perfectly for life. Help us to continue to be amazed by you. Help us not to be afraid of science. Help us not to be persuaded by people that would try and set up this conflict that we can't believe in you and take science seriously, because that's just not the case. Help us to see science as giving glory to you. Give us an increasing belief in, conviction in the who of creation. That you are our creator and sustainer. And Lord, where the how and the when interests us, maybe even passionately interests us, help us to hold to that still with love and grace for each other. And as we have conversations, Lord, give us wisdom in how to present you, how to represent you, and how to help people to open their minds and their hearts to the concept of you, a creator behind every incredible thing that they see. We thank you for science, the gift it is to our lives, and the incredibly interesting thing it is. And Lord, help us to, as we just read from that quote, to have faith in you with a commitment based on evidence of who you are and how you've revealed yourself. In Jesus' name, amen.